Session number 26981.
Betty Bowden, Reel 2. So, I mean, you've left to get married.
Yes.
But were you sorry to leave the Wrens? Because
not really, because we'd all been dispersed. My friends had gone, and I'd got an exciting new life to start. Charles was at Deal then, and he'd been fortunate enough to find accommodation for us in what was called a Coast Guard cottage, but it had 12 rooms, and we rented this for 2 guineas a week.
Yeah.
And that was on the coast, the picture behind you. We were just up to the right, under the cliffs. Yeah. There was a valley went up, and the Coast Guard cottages were up there. Yeah. And then that was when you had 440 squad, wasn't it?
Yes.
And when they went to Chatham, we both went to Chatham. And we were fortunate because Charles' young brother, unfortunately, had just lost his wife, but he'd still got the flat that they used to live in. So he let us have the flat, didn't he?
Yes.
Right. So back to the war then. I mean, the Wrens were seen as quite sort of glamorous, weren't they? Much desired. Were you sort of pestered and admired by all these sailors?
Not really. No, I mean, some Wrens were very popular, but it was called the ladies' service because there was this. As I mentioned before, you couldn't desert from the Wrens because you were free to go. All you had to do was cut the buttons off your uniform, return your buttons and your pay book, say you were going, and that was it. You were free to go. There was no being hauled back and court-martialed and that kind of thing, yeah, as there were with the other services.
Yeah. Ladylike sort of arrangement. Yeah. What was the social life like? I mean, when you were at Sea Serpent, was there any social life?
There were dances, there were the odd film show and the odd ENSA show. But there wasn't a lot of time for socialising.
I mean, there were lots of, I mean, all down the south coast. By the time you got there, there were troops massing, weren't there?
Yes.
Canadians and Americans. And
that's
so
right.
Do you have any contact with any other nations' troops?
No, no, none at all. Mm. Yes, during the build-up for D-Day, there was a restriction all round the south coast. You were not allowed to travel further than 3 miles inland. Unfortunately, my home was within that three-mile limit, so I was still able to go home at weekends when I was off duty.
So what about other characters? I mean, so you've had quite close dealings with, I mean, Wally Ayres I've heard of before.
Mm.
Where had he made his name? He'd been in action, hadn't he?
I don't know anything about his previous, except that he'd been at the PT school in
right.
Portsmouth.
Right, yeah. So within the Wrens, I mean, the Navy is known for being very hierarchical, and was the Wrens the same?
Not really. One interesting Wren officer, after Elizabeth Evans went, we had Wren officer by the name of Neve, and we didn't know then, but we found out afterwards that she was the sister of Airy Neve. You remember that was blown up by the IRA?
Yes.
but we didn't know that at the time.
Yeah. What was she like?
She was another very nice lady.
So, I mean, Chichester and Portsmouth were bombed. Portsmouth certainly was bombed.
Portsmouth,
a lot, wasn't
yes.
It? I mean, did you, were you aware of that? Was this going on at all while you were down at Sea Serpent?
It must have been. I was more aware of the bombing of Southampton before I joined, because we were about 3 miles outside of Southampton, and sometimes they dropped their bombs a bit short. I remember one occasion when bomb went off, and there was a large field in front of our home then, and bombs went off in the field and smashed all our windows. But that was the closest they got to me personally. But when I used to go into Southampton to work, the never forget the smell of the bombing. You know, the destruction and the buildings, there was a horrible smell from all the debris. Never forget that.
What did your mother think about you joining up? I mean, your eldest brother, was it, was killed?
Yes. Well, she obviously wasn't very happy at her baby going. But I said, well, I'm 18. If I don't go voluntarily, they're going to call me up. And goodness knows what I'll be put into. So it's better to volunteer and get what I want than wait and be pushed anywhere. Because I would have been conscripted if I hadn't joined, if I'd not had a reserved occupation. So it was a case of, well, you just got to go.
And what did you learn from being in the Wrens?
How to get on with other people and do as I was told. But, the companionship, I think, was the greatest thing from service life. But, you've got the odd people that would always want to be catty if they could, but most of them were really nice people.
And what did you do in your spare time? Did you do any sports, or when you had time off?
Hockey.
We played. I remember one time we had played hockey on the beach. This must have been well after D-Day, mustn't it? Because we could get onto the beach. It was miles and miles of sand, and we had no pitch marked out. We're just a lot of sailors and a lot of wrens, and we got some hockey sticks from somewhere, and we had a game of hockey on the sand. Oh, we used to, at one stage we used to go shooting, didn't we?
Yes.
Charles taught me how to use a rifle, and again down on the beach we'd set up the target and do some target practice.
And all the landing craft, you talked about them going off, did they all come back to Sea Serpent?
No.
No.
Well, some of them went back to Burdham, I suppose. But, I mean, when I looked out across the Solent, I mean, it was landing craft from all the other bases all round the south coast. There was one at Bewley. I forget what that one was called now. But there was cricket, HMS Cricket at Burselden. That was on the Hamble River. And they were all along the coast. There was another one at Selsey. Hayling Island, there were four. So it was, as I say, masses of them. So some of them must have come back to Birdham, but I didn't know much about that.
Anything else that comes to your mind? There must be lots of stories and things, but it's difficult to recall them.
In the build up to D-Day, I remember there was an exercise once. We had to evacuate Jeeks, our little house, and come up into the hotel early in the morning, and we weren't allowed back all day because this exercise was taking place. And I was, in strict orders, I was not allowed to look out of the window. You can just imagine sitting there with my back to the window, longing to see what was happening, but I was under orders. And I thought, well, if I don't see anything, if anything goes wrong and I'm taken prisoner, I can't talk because I don't know anything. So that was my logic for not looking back. Anyway, after it had gone on for a few hours, I was left alone in the office. So I took a quick peep and I saw this craft coming in very fast to the beach. It's going to crash, but it came straight in, straight up the beach, and something was lowered and away it went. It was my first sighting of the amphibious craft that they call ducks. So I turned back and carried on being a good girl. But it was such an amazing thing to see this thing coming so fast out of the water, straight up the beach. I can't think of any other stories.
Yeah. Oh, all right. It's been really interesting. Lovely. Thank you very much indeed for that.
You're
Thank you.
welcome.
So I'll say.